Today's daf is a giant of a daf, so we're on daf Ayin Gimel, and we really didn't come to any conclusions about how to understand the sugya of whether it requires an actual shemiya of the Baal. When it says, we asked yesterday, Rami Bar Choma was wondering whether b'shama isha utaz dafka or lav dafka. We brought a lot of rayas, but in all of them we were able to say that it meant something else. It meant that he was being mefer with an understanding that he would then be shomeiayet, or he intended to be mefer when he was shomeiayet, depending what the case was. So we couldn't really prove it from there. However, what's interesting is that today we ask another question, which indicates what it is that we think about the previous question. Because here, by Rami Bar Choma, a new issue, which is, how about somebody who's deaf? So he's a cheresh. He's deaf, but he can speak. So in other words, he still is a bar da'at, and he would still be able to be mefer. He's married to a woman who makes a neder. Ma'u shi'efer li'ishto. Can such a person do a hafara? Is im timtza lomar ba'al mefer b'lo shmi'a. Even if you're going to tell me, as we said yesterday, on the tzad, now this is interesting because many Rishon Paskin, that once you say Im Tim Tzalomar, it means you're ready to accept that Hanacha. In other words, let us assume that a Baal can be made for without Shmiah. What would be the din about someone who can't even hear? And so it would appear based on that, there would be sufficient basis to Paskin that you do not require the actual shmira. It turns out, though, that that's a machlokas Rishon. It's actually a machlokas Paskin between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. So, the Ashkenazim Paskin, you do require shmira. But in any event, if a man can't even hear at all, so we could say like this: even if you're going to tell me that normally a baal mefer below shmira, perhaps that's only mishum debar mishmahu. Maybe that's because at least he's able to hear. But, I mean, if he's a cheresh, where over there he's not a bar shmi'ah, then perhaps Rabbi Zera's famous halacha kicks in. Remember that Rabbi Zera's halacha is that even where you have an ideal that the Torah speaks of, but it's not meant to be ma'akiv, the situation, nonetheless, the ideal does define at least the possibilities. So if you're not even within the range of that ideal, you're excluded. The classic case is, the Omer Rabbi Zera kol ha-ro'i le-bila, ein bila ma'akevet bo. V'chosh ein ro'i le-bila, bila ma'akevet bo. So we have an interesting halacha, that a mincha requires bila, requires mixing. The klal is that if you have over a certain volume of flour, it doesn't mix properly in the container. And therefore, if you bring a mincha that isn't properly mixed, it's completely kosher. But if you go beyond the 60 lug limit, which would be not mixable, then the mincha is not even kosher at all. Why? Because it's not included within the set of which such ideals are even possible. So even where the ideal isn't applicable to halacha, you don't need the ideal, but you need the possibility of such an ideal. Here too, the Torah says v'shama isha uta. Okay, so yesterday we said, but maybe that doesn't mean you literally have to hear it. That may well be, but it may be that you need to be at least able on some level to hear if in fact the situation were that you heard it. If you're a cheresh, you can't hear even in the best possible circumstances. So that's one way of looking at it, that the v'shama isha uta is indeed dafka, at least as an ideal. Yesterday we were asking maybe if it's even more than an ideal. Maybe it's operative, right? So that was our question. Is it operative or is it not operative? So now let's assume for a moment it's not operative. Now I have another question. Is it definitive of an ideal? So that if the Baal can't even hear, then for sure he can't be mefer. Or perhaps, as we thought yesterday, it's not even meant to define an ideal. It's just simply saying it's another word for finding out. So normally you would respond when you find out, not before you find out, just in case. That's all, but it would just be sort of a diberakatu ba'oveh. O dilma v'shama isha lo ma'akev at all. Maybe there's no real meaning to shama isha, even as a Rebbe Zera ikuf. Omar Rava Toshma, I will prove it to you. V'shama isha prat la'eshat cheresh. It says in the Braita that v'shama isha means not an eshet cheresh. Shma bina. So from there we definitely see that at the very least the situation defines an ideal. You need to be able to hear. Now we clearly cannot understand this to mean that v'shama isha only means and not a cheresh. Because if that's the case, we could use this braita to prove our question yesterday, right? We could have simply said, okay, here's our raya. It says in the braita, v'shama isha prat cheresh, mashma, but if you're not a cheresh, then v'shama isha is not an operative principle, it's an ideal principle. Because otherwise, why are we only using it to be ma'akev a cheresh? That's what you would think. But it seems that since the Gemara doesn't use it as a raya, that we're just perhaps using this in the ultimate sense. In other words, not because necessarily of Rabbi Zera. Okay, so there seems to be some machlokas in the Rishonim about this, whether this is meant to be an actual raya. Now we can turn back and apply it to the other sugya, or not. And then, of course, is the other issue. Like the Rambam says, wherever you have an Imtim Salomer, you go according to the assumptions of the Imtim Salomer. So this ends up being a machloket Rishonim because of that. Iboila. Another question that we have about reading these psukim. It does say, B'yom Shemoa Isha Yani Ota. Now, Ota could mean her and Dafka her. Okay, so we're talking about Shmiah as one question. How about if you got two wives? Is Ota only one? Or is Ota just, you know, we're talking about a normal case. The guy has one wife. I mean, but if he's got multiple wives, maybe he could be multiple meifer, bevat achat. You know, all of you are no good. No, no, darn. Maybe that would be okay. Same thing would be true about an Av. An Av also, it says, Inivya Ota. It's Ota Dafka. Or if he has, let's say, two daughters, both of whom made the neder, can he just say, nah, forget about both of your nadarim? Or does it have to be a specific relationship to the person who made the neder, each one separately? Yeah.
When he's maker, he doesn't have to, he can use general language, or does that have to say for each specific?
He would have to say, no, he doesn't have to mention neder, but he has to say mufar lach or mufar lach. He couldn't say mufar lachen. So that would be the same question of a father as well. So that's our next question. Ba'o ma'oshi efelashtena shab b'vatacha. Do we say v'ni, both by the father, v'ni avio ota, or b'yom shemoa isha yani ota, that ota is dafka ota, or lav dafka? Omer Avina, well, I can bring you raya because we have exactly the same situation when it comes to a sota. And over there, we also say, it says there, this is not the way Rashi learns in sota. However, it's an easy way to learn our sugya, and it's the way most of Shonim learn our sugya. It says vihishka, with a mapike. Vihishka, mapike is the equivalent of inserting the word ota. Therefore, it's as if it wrote vishikota. Now we say over there that if there are two women, ein mashkin shtei sotot keachat. You cannot bring two women who are going to drink the mayim ma'orim at the same time. Why not? Mipnei sheliba gas pechavrata. When one of them sees the other one, she gets more chutzpah. Especially, let's say one of them was innocent. So she's going to keep denying that she ever slept with this guy. The one who may not be innocent will say, well, she's probably the same as me, and she's got the guts to say the heck with it, so I'm going to say the heck with it too. Right? And because of that, we're going to end up being molka the shame, and so we don't do it. Exactly. So we don't do that. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, that's not the reason we don't do that. It's not a psychological issue. Lomina shame uzeh. Elamishum shenamar vihishka. It says v'ishka, which is the equivalent of ishka ota, because of the mapike, and we dashen that to mean levada, her and only her. So we see from here, either that indeed it's a machloket, but the truth is that over there the Gemara comes out that the Tanakhama really is Rabbi Shimon's Dorish Taima Dekra. He's not arguing. He's saying, let me tell you the reason. Why did the Torah say it has to be her and only her? Because the Torah takes into consideration the fact that she's going to be mechazik herself with the other one. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, stop giving me reasons. Who are you? God, anyway. Lo min Hashem uzeh. The reason is it says it in a pasuk. But in any event, it seems quite clear that actually the mapike is meaningful and otah is actually dafka. All right? So this is something of a machlokas, however. There are those who learn that the raya here is indeed only from what is the Rabbana, that is to say the Tanakhama. The Ran says it doesn't make any sense because it turns out over there is no the Rabbana. There's only Rabbi Shimon, and he's essentially agreeing. But okay. Dear President, you're multitasking. Oh, is that what you were supposed to say? I thought it was the parrot. Bogeret. Now here we get to the Mishnah that we talked about earlier. We used it in the earlier sugya as a raya, that a bogeret. And we read this, we ended up showing that it needs to be read as two separate things. Either a bogeret, we can't tell you the time that it takes for higia zman of a bogeret, or a nara, shishata shnemasar chodesh, because a nara indeed requires 12 months in order to prepare for the wedding. An almana, who has 30 days to prepare for the wedding, and now the husband-to-be does not perform. He doesn't take them to the chuppah. The bogeret, again, the amount of time that's defined for bogeret is a minimum of 30 days, a maximum of 12 months from the day of beggar, but we deduct a day for every day post-beggar, because, I mean, at the ripe old age of 12 and a half, she's already planning on getting married. So therefore, she's been planning the marriage since she's 12 and a half. So if she's already 6 months from the time she became a bogeret, we deduct those 6 months. And I've only got 6 months left. I mean, certainly she hasn't been sitting around twiddling her toes, has she? So in all of these cases, he is supposed to perform. If he doesn't perform, the halacha is that he has to support her. So yigia zmana v'lo niseit, then he goes and is mefarnes. So says Rabbi Eliezer, ho'ilu ba'ala chaya b'mezonoteha, yafer. Since the husband has to feed her, he now also gets the right to be made for her nedar. We're going to say, oh, that's possible. I mean, a nedar is a dioraita. You can't just hand out rights to be made for a nedar. L'chachomim omrim, and this means, of course, without the av. In other words, despite the fact that he's only an orus, in midioraita he would require the av. But since over here he's chayv b'mezonoteha, we treat him like a baal, and he's made for on his own without the av. The chachamim omrim, in habaal may fare on his own, ad shetikanes reshuto, it's only a baal, a real baal, who actually goes to the chuppah. Now it isn't necessarily clear that ad shetikanes reshuto means it has to be a dioraita. That we'll talk about, because certainly in cases where a woman makes the darim but is only married minarabona, she went to the chuppah, but she made a neder as a ketana, was a mufla'as mucha. In other words, she was still a ketana, but she's in her last year of katnut, where over there you're able to make a neder diuraita if she understands nedarim. She's only married minarabona because she has no father, either actually or legally. And the din is over there, even the Rabbanan agree that a nominal husband is a husband min Rabbanan, because v'nichnas l'chuppah min Rabbanan, nonetheless can be mefer. So things are not as simple as they seem over here. There's obviously a deeper machlokas which we're going to have to understand. But on the surface, I mean, we would think, gosh, how can you take a neder that's deoraita and be mefer only because of a relationship that's the Rabbanan? I'm a rab. So the first thing Rabba points out is that the old Mishnah Rishona back in Ketuvot seems to be actually a reflection now of what Rabbi Eliezer is saying. That Rabbi Eliezer Mishnah Rishona Amru Devar Achad. If you remember back in Ketuvot, we said it's not Notnin leBetula Shneimasar Chodesh Farnes Atzma. So Betula has 12 months to get herself ready for the wedding. But if the 12 months arrive and he doesn't perform the Oros, so then Ochelet Mishalo, she eats his Parnasa, and not only that, but she even eats Truma. Ochelet B'Truma. So that she's really considered to be married to him. Now, we have to remember, gentlemen, that Midioraita, Kinyan Kaspo of a Kohen, is Ochelet B'Truma. That means that midioraita, if a guy says Arayat Mekudeshetli, and now she is knuya to him, she can eat truma. The only reason that we say she can't eat truma as an arus, as a drabonin, if you recall, for two possible reasons. One is simpon, that we're afraid that maybe in the end he's going to marry her and discover something wrong with her that will annul the marriage, which would have meant she was eating truma, which is an issur d'oraita all along without any basis. And the other is the proverbial Coke in the fridge problem, right? So we're afraid he's going to give her a truma Coca-Cola, and then she's going to share it with her siblings. Actually, it's wine. But we don't want to talk about such youngsters drinking wine. So in any event, she is bi'ikra din, she really should be able to eat truma, but we said she can't eat truma. Now, since it's time for him to be mafanis her, neither of those reasons may obtain. Why? Because if he's being mafanis her, then he probably sees to it that he's not dumping his money to take care of all of her 32 siblings, right? So in other words, he's got a special place to be mafanis her. You can come in and eat. No invitations, please.
No talking.
It's bad enough I got to take care of you. I certainly don't plan on taking care of the whole family. So over there, he's not going to be giving her things to share. Okay, Mashen can stop if he sends her a bottle of Coke once in a while. I mean, oh, she wants to share it's her business. But once he has to take care of her, and he's going to be getting the bills for everything, he doesn't want all of that money being dumped on the family. The other thing is that if it's a simpon, there is also the issue of once he's putting out cash, he's going to find out whether anything's wrong with her. So he starts asking around in town. He tells his mother, find out what she's like. And, you know, the girls go with her to the public bath. You know, they got a good look at her. So that's called, that's considered to be a bedika. That was a machlokas, whether that's a suitable bedika for us to rely on, that there's no simpon. That people certainly pick up with a question of whether someone has something bodily wrong with them. And so at that point, already we don't have to be chayish for simpon. So it makes sense to say that after the 12 months already, should be ochelet betruma. Now, if a yavam, however, in a case where she is now never got to go to the chuppah with her arus died, leaving her to his brother, and now the brother is taking his time, a yavam ain't machil betruma. A yavam actually is never machil betruma. This is the way Rashi understands it, because it's not kinyan kaspo, it's kinyan achiv, and there was never a kinyan that the yavam makes on her until he's actually mi'avim her. And for that, you're not going to be able to eat truma. That's the way Rashi learns. So that even if she had already been eating truma before, she still would have to stop eating truma. However, Tosfos argues, or Rabbeinu Tam argues on that bitterly, and says that the only point is the yavam is not ma'achil, is simply a drabonan din, that he can't start feeding, because since a yavam generally wants to get the whole dirty business over with one way or the other, he doesn't like being in that position. So either he's going to give her chalitz or he's going to be mi'avim. It's just something everybody's talking about. It's everybody's business. And it's not a pleasant situation to be in. So we're not cheshish there to create this knas that she's ochelet mishalon, ochelet b'tshuva. So he can't therefore be ma'achil. But in a case where she was already eating truma, he certainly doesn't prevent her from eating truma any further. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam says, and the Yerushalmi says clearly like that as well. He doesn't start her off eating, but he doesn't stop her from eating. And we'll see in the Lashon of the Gemara over there in Ketuvot, it's very mashma like that also. Rashi has a big problem with that Lashon. So therefore, when it comes to a Yavam, no problem. He not Machil Betruma in any event. I don't care, Asta Shishach Adashim Mifnei Abal. Whether she had been engaged, remember we use that word loosely to mean arusa, whether she had been engaged for 6 months before the arus died, and now she's been waiting 6 months for the yavam to perform, so now the 12 months are up, or for that matter, afilu kulam bifnei abal, even if it was just one day short of her actual marriage, of taking her to the chuppah, and so that now there's just one day, chasu yom echad, again, according to Rashi, this is meaningless. Because according to Rashi, even if she'd already started eating, she's not going to be able to continue eating because she's not kinyan kaspo. Right? And Rashi has to say this is a lav dafka. The chasu yom echad. This is very dafka. If she already got to the point where she was able to eat truma because of the derabana from the orus, we don't take that away from her just because he's a yavam. There's no fundamental problem in a yavam eating. So now, in that case, even if it's chasu yom echad, ain't ol chalat betruma. Now, continues the Mishnah over there to say, but all of the above is the Mishnah Rishonah. But the Beit Din Shel Acharei Hem Amru, You cannot do that. You cannot give her truma. Either because, the way the Ron learns, although it's against the sugya, as the Rabbi Kiviger points out here, it's against the sugya in Ketuvot. But as the Ron learns, if the problem is simpon, maybe we don't rely on people just giving her a once-over in the mikveh and thinking, you know, does she have a mum or not? How close do they look? Maybe there's something that turns him off. Hello? If it's because of Yichud Lo Makom, maybe you can't rely on that, that everybody's going to be Miachid Makom, and that it's good enough that people indeed aren't going to share coke. Okay? Actually, as Reb Kiviger points out in the Gemara, it's clear that at this point in the Mishnah Achrona, we're saying it may be true that there's no problem of sharing a coke bottle, but there is always a problem of simpon, because a bedika that way, a cursory bedika is not considered to be a bedika. Intimacy will give exposed things that a cursory bedika won't expose. Okay, but whatever the case is, the Mishnah Achrona, which is the Beit Din Shel Achareihem Amru, Ein Ha'ishal Chelet B'Trumah Ad Shetikanes L'Chupah. Now, essentially, Rabbi Eliezer is acting along the lines of the Mishnah Rishona. He's saying because she is married, in effect, why? Because he's supporting her. He therefore acts as a full Baal, and she looks at him as a full Baal, and he, the same way, I mean, I assume the Gemara is saying, the same way that you're telling me that he's able to be made for Nadarim, so undoubtedly she could eat Truma also. I mean, we're not going to start making these Diyukim. So in other words, at this point, even though, I mean, we understand that Truma is only a Dirabbanan because of the Gzeir of Simpon, or because possibly, again, according to the Ran, even here with Chayesh for the Coke bottle, Shema Tashka is the Tishka, maybe she'll give some of it, and this one is a Diyaraita, but we assumed that we're going to pattern, if Lamaisa, you couldn't be made for Nadarim, then we would certainly pattern a Dirabbanan on the way we would look at a Diyaraita. So if Minyaraita, we won't treat him as a husband, the Rabbanan would also have continued to say, look, she's not really married to him, right? That's what we thought. Omar Abaye said, Abaye, no. That doesn't make any sense. Because we don't pattern one Dirabbanan on another din. I mean, it's two different issues over here. Dilmalohi, who's to say that Rebbe Eliezer follows the missionary Shona, or for that matter, that the missionary Shona follows Rebbe Eliezer? Are we not dealing with two different issues? Look, the issue of Truma to Dirabbanan. Mi'ikar ad-din, he already gave her the money, gave her the ring. You don't need a chuppah. As a matter of fact, a chuppah doesn't add a darn thing when it comes to Truma ben Rabbanan. Either it's Kinyan Kaspo or it's not. I mean, over here it's Kinyan Kaspo. What's the chuppah going to add? So the only reason she isn't eating Truma is because the Rabbanan are making these gzeiras. They don't want Truma to be eaten by the siblings, maybe, or maybe the marriage will be annulled. I mean, come on, you know, what are really the chances? I mean, it's a gzeira, okay? Nadarim is a very serious issue. I mean, over here, the netter is a diorita. The girls are growing up. She's making nadarim. She's not really now in the rishus of the Baal. The Torah did not allow a guy to be made for on his own, even though he is Kedushin, as opposed to Truma, where he can give her Truma on his own, right? As an Oros. An Oros can only be made for with the Av, and yet for some reason Rebbe Eliezer is saying that he can be made for despite the fact that the debtor is a Diorita, which is astounding. But whatever the mechanism is, it's unrelated to the din of Truma, where Me'ikra din Diorita is able to give her Truma. So I don't understand, how are you comparing the two? And the other way around is also, but that doesn't make sense to me. I mean, how do you know that Rebbe Eliezer would even agree to the Mishnah Rishon? I mean, it's ad kan lo shamat le Rebbe Eliezer. Look, all that you hear with Rebbe Eliezer is gavei nedarim. And I'll tell you what the logic is by nedarim. Rebbe Eliezer's logic, and as I pointed out to you earlier, the Rabbanan are married to this logic. Because the Rabbanan agree that in a case we have a kedushin which is only Dirabbanan, such as a ketana that doesn't have a father, where the mother accepted kedushin, she accepts kedushin, the brother accepts kedushin, that's a kedushin Dirabbanan. Even if she's in the suah, it's a kedushin Dirabbanan. And the din is over there, everybody agrees that the putative husband, who's really only Dirabbanan, can be made for an adorim diraita. So there obviously exists some mechanism by which Rebbe Eliezer is extending that halacha to talk about even this case, where he's not even in the chuppah. where he's only a Baal because of the fact that he has to support her. And that's sufficient. The Rabbanan don't agree that that's sufficient. But what is that mechanism? That mechanism is Rabbi Pinchas. Rabbi Pinchas quotes Rava. Rabbi Pinchas made a Rava. He says, look, the bottom line is that what the Torah is saying when it's giving over a keach of hafara to a Baal, it obviously is implying something about the nature of the relationship to the Baal, is it not? I mean, if you take a look in the words of the Torah, it's saying, Bein ish le ishto. The whole idea is nedarim beino leveina. Things that affect the relationship. That means that effectively, the din of hafarat nedarim is actually a function of the relationship and the neder that has to do with the relationship. Now, once that's true, we therefore can say that kol hanoderet al dad ba'alai noderet, that actually a woman, as long as she considers the guy to be the Baal, there is a machlokas here between the Rabbon and Rabbi Eliezer. What creates that? Is it going through a nominal chuppah, even though that's only the Rabbonan, such as the case where she is still a ketana, or is it sufficient even where there's just money coming in from him and he's acting like a Baal in terms of taking responsibility for it? Fine, that's a machlokas. But certainly the fact that an isha is noderet al dad ba'ala, that's true. What does that have to do with the chashash over there about feeding truma to somebody or about maybe the marriage ending up being annulled because of simpon? A completely different sugya has nothing in common. But what are you just throwing around these very, very superficial comparisons? Both cases, he's feeding her, and there's some relationship to his being a husband. For heaven's sakes, look into the reasoning. There's absolutely nothing that connects the two sugyas. So whatever the Mishnah Rishona holds, we have no idea what it would hold in terms of the application of Rabbi Pinchas' halacha to a case of being fed. And whatever you hold about the application of Rabbi Pinchas has nothing to do with what you would hold about the chashash of Simpon or Shema Tashka when it comes to a case where you're being supported by somebody. That's what Abaye said. So maybe when it comes to Truma, afilu min Rabbanan, nami lo akla. Now, the truth is, this is the first time that we've gotten to this idea of kolon oderet adad ba'alai noderet. It's a shocking idea. Because according to this idea, superficially, one would reach the conclusion that we don't really need the parsha of Hafarat Nedarim. In other words, if we could figure out ourselves that a person feels a dependency on someone, and certainly if he would say so openly, then that would be sufficient to just cancel the letter. You know, you said, you know, I think Uncle Joe would probably like me to make this neder. And Uncle Joe says, no, I don't like the neder. So that's it. So we have a same idea, basically. Hafarat nedarim ayadei Uncle Joe. I mean, that's what it sounds like. But this is basically... oh, boy. This is basically a type of condition that is built into nedarim. And in which case it's variable, and it depends. You know, it depends on the situation, and there's places where you can make such a condition, and so on. Now, because that is very disturbing, since there clearly are very specific halachot that are negeah hafarat nedarim, including the way that you say it. If you use a lashon as a baal, the way a chacham would be mevatam ikaro, it's not a good hafar, as we'll see later on. If the issue is only an expression of your disapproval, so who the heck cares? I mean, you just stand on your head and spit wooden nickels if that's a way of showing disapproval. I mean, if it's only a condition, then the condition has been not fulfilled and the neder is batal. So this is a very disturbing issue. And because of that, I would like to read a little piece of Ran that has two approaches about this and brings a third approach with which he disagrees. And so please take a look at the closing Ran here on Amud Beis. Now, there are some who think that they have a right to derive a psak halacha from this sugya, namely, the Mishnah Adar al Dat Chaveiro. It's in the big, thick print. Ika, it's the Dibur HaMatchil. So some learn from here the Mishnah Dar al Dat Chaveiro. So if somebody would be making a neder on the dat of his friend, so the same thing. And according to this, if you've got a same-sex marriage, the other guy can go and be made for him. I mean, after all, I'm not there. Al dat his partner is neither. I mean, you're telling me that it's the same halacha. That's what it says over here. If the whole issue is that we're trying to talk about the neder al dat somebody, so then if you say beferish, you know, I'm making this neder, Uncle Joe's going to like it, so then that should be enough for Uncle Joe to be mefer. So if that's the case, b'mefarish nami al dat chaveru matzi mefer. What they claim is that's certainly not worse. Lo gora mefarish, where a guy says beferish that I want my friend to like this neder, that's not going to be worse than stam, a case of a bob, where we're making an assumption that the guy wants the other person to approve. Because that dino time a hach, isn't it? It's like, it's both places, hach of the hatam. The whole idea boils down to neder al tnai. So it turns out that every woman is basically making a neder al tnai that my husband will like it, and that's what the whole din of Parsha Matot boils down to, Nedarim al Tanai. And I say, bull. It's so terrible that it's a shigigat hora'ah. It's simply, I mean, it's absolutely off the wall. It's not that you have a right to listen to this kind of thing. It's completely wrong, totally wrong. V'zuitzi shigigat hora'ah. Because look, the afagav the amar dal dat bala, you know, there. It's true that we use those words, right? Do you not agree that afilo akitzarek bal sheyefer lo botel lashon shekitzvah lo Torah? Is it not true that we have a whole sugya later that the Baal has to use the precise language that the Torah gives him to use in order to do hafara? If it's neder al tnai, does that make any sense? What do we care what language he uses? The gzirat hakatuv. I mean, obviously, what we're dealing with, therefore, is not a neder al tnai, but a unique gzirat hakatuv, which because of which, mishumachi, ain't kol lashon shavimbo. You can't just say, I don't like it. Now, according to you, that this boils down to nothing but a neder al tnai. The iamr to benoder al dat chaviron nami idach matzi mefer mishum de keneder al tnai tami. So then that means hataratosh shel abal or hataratosh shel adam acher, and it's all the same. It's ra'ui shetein ne'emer b'chol lashon. However, you indicate disapproval of the neder makes no difference how you said it. You could have done it all wrong, and you could have said this neder is batal, this neder is mutter. It doesn't make any difference. What do you have to say the neder is mutter for? You don't like it. That's the important thing. It was made on tonight. So the condition wasn't fulfilled. The netter is automatically bought. It's not that I'm being mevatelit. Now, clearly, that is contradictory to the entire sugya throughout the Masechta that deals with hafara. So something is terribly wrong with this approach, says the Ran. Now, we have to figure out what's wrong. I mean, certainly on the surface, it seems to be saying that, for all intents and purposes, this boils down to every woman making a netter on tonight, in which case you're 100% right. The logic of it would be, if you say the Pharisee that I want so-and-so's dot, it's certainly not going to be worse than an assumptive dot of Venetia Lavala. How do I explain this, then, says the Ram? I'm saying it's a shigigat hora'ah. That's clear because the facts indicate so. But what's the logic? Elavadai, therefore, what we have to understand is this. Rav Pinchas Hachi Ka'ama. What Rav Pinchas is saying is, the nihida afarata baal gzerata katuvu. Miu mishum hachi zichdaha Torah lebaal baafarat nedarim, nedareha, mishum de al daat baala hinoderet, hilkoch koshi hinoderet al daato, chale hach gzerata katuv. All that Rav Pinchas is saying is that a specific and unique relationship to someone who she views as a husband is the basis of the nature of hafarat nedarim. But it is certainly not the equivalent of a literal neder al tnai. Just because you'd like someone else to want your neder, that doesn't boil down to the statement, I make this neder on condition that so-and-so will want it, which of course would work. I mean, then if he doesn't want it, the neder is bottled. That has nothing to do with hafarat. This is not a case where you make a condition. Rather, what we're saying is, of course, there's a gzerata katuv, that someone that you value as an individual that you're living with and thinking of his being a baal, as being in charge, so she's noderet al da'ato, and therefore, even though it's not a neder al tznai, there's gzerata katuv that gives you as a baal the kayach, if you utilize the correct words, to be made for that neder. So the only thing that Rabbi Pinchas is adding is how to define a baal. That's all. So Rabbi Eliezer says what the Torah is saying is not a baal technically that is measured by some type of magical sacred marriage. That's not the issue. The issue is baalut. And baalut has to do with the relationship to husbandry. What's the aspect of that husbandry, says Rabbi Eliezer, taking good care of me, providing for me. Doesn't matter whether we're legally sanctioned as man and wife. He's my baal because he's taking care of me. The rabbanit said, look, we're going to call him a baal. That's enough. Or, certainly everybody agrees that Rabbi Pinchas is right when it comes to, I actually went under the chuppah and we did the whole thing. Now, I don't care whether it's the rabbanit or right. The fact is, I look at this guy as a baal. Says Rabbi Pinchas, well, clearly that's included in what the Torah is saying over here because the relationship obtains completely. So it has both the form and the content of that relationship, and therefore he has the keach of being mefer. But where there is no gzerat hakatuv, the fact that you have such a relationship means nothing, because it is not a tnai. It's still a gzerat hakatuv. We're only coming to define where the gzerat hakatuv obtains. So now you could say, but the court sanctions same-sex marriage. It's still not a baal. And therefore, surely, if you go ahead and say, Uncle Joe, it's not a marriage at all. There's nothing to do with the relationship to a baal. So the only way that such a thing would work is you actually make a condition. I make this neder on condition that Uncle Joe likes the neder. Fine. But that's not what happened over here. So therefore, all that Rabbi Pinchas is doing, according to the Ran, is he's explaining what the logic is in the definition of who is a baal. That's all. Now we have the machloket Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan in how to understand the extension of Rabbi Pinchas. Will it include a guy who's supporting a woman? Or is it only if she actually found herself under a chuppah, whether even though it's only Rabbah? Right? That's one approach. Aval, noder al dat chaviro. A case where a guy makes a neder thinking that he wants his friend to be approving of it, the lo chodik be'rachman amidi, where the Torah never told us any chiddush, there's no gzirat ha-katuv, v'adai lo matzi mefer. That's meaningless. Obviously, mi hoheich da'ati behedya, if a guy says an actual condition, obviously that's going to help. If he says, ha'reni noder im chaveri rotze, in that case, of course, matzi chaveri l'mishale. There he could simply say, well, I'm not rotze. And over there, obviously, it wouldn't matter what language he says he's not rotze, or how he indicates he's not rotze. It's just a question of fact. Either he is rotze or not. So there, eno tzarich lashon miyuchad, elakol heichad omar yafshi sagi. As long as he indicates he doesn't like the neder, it's sufficient. Even though, as far as a technical afara is concerned, it would not be sufficient. Afagav deba afara lomani. Zenirali. That's what I think the meaning is of this sugya. However, says the Ran, there's another possibility. I'm telling you what I think, but I can tell you also there's another possibility that takes a different tact. The other possibility is va'od. It doesn't really mean what it's saying. Lo kaptin and alisha. We don't really mean to say that it's the equivalent of an assumptive tnai in the matter. That's not the point. The point is this, Elohi Kamrina. The ain beliba shiyitkayim haneder ikapid be bala. Avoman lemalan de aldat hachi mashma, the name of another aldat chavero matzid of Mishreli. Elavade kirekativna. Now this is a deeper notion that the Ran is bringing up here. The reason he doesn't prefer it as the chat is because he's forced to say that the language of al-dad ba'ala does not quite mean what it sounds like it's meaning. It means something deeper. It's using dot in a much more profound way than we usually would have said al-dad plum. or al-dat harabim, and so on. What it's using over here is dat in its deepest meaning, of how it is that I see my position in the world. How do I relate to reality? A woman believes that she is not empowered to have a way of treating reality, which after all is what Nether is all about. I'm trying to create an Isser. Because ultimately she feels that her reality is defined by her husband. And that if she finds herself with a husband who will not tolerate this thing, she's not empowered to create that reality for herself. If that's the case, that's the real meaning of Adat Ba'ala, then clearly it would have nothing to do with an indication or an assumption that I want to be approved of by so-and-so. This is not a question of approval. This is a question of stance of self. I don't intend, I don't believe in the power of Neder to be able to contradict a husband who says, look, baby, it ain't going to happen, I'm telling you right now. That's the point. So Mamela, that is indeed extendable to whatever point there's a relationship in which she builds that connection with the person. You're right. I don't need to come on to what I said before. It's a gzeirat ha-katuv, and it only applies where there's actual dinim of marriage on some level. No. But one thing is for sure, that even the state of mind that Pinchas is referring to, darn it, is not an exportable state of mind to other relationships. It's a very profound existential expression of what it means to be married. And therefore, unless it actually touches on that level of da'at, it's meaningless to try to extrapolate from there that, you know, well, if you got a good friend, it's good. It's not true. There is not that fundamental notion that I'm not empowered for such a thing. If he stands against it, I can always simply walk away and say, you know what, I don't like you either. You know, so I'm making that. So we have two possibilities of why it is that Rav Pinchas is applicable, dafka, to this situation. Either because everything that Rav Pinchas said was only applicable to this situation, which is the latter pshat of the Ran, or because all Rav Pinchas was doing was trying to define what the word Baal means in this sense of hafara, which is kol anoder al dat ba'ala, and therefore it requires dafka ba'ala with all of the special gzerot hakatuv. Okay? Are we happy? These are such wonderful things, such important things, such fundamentally different ways of looking at life, of looking at the Dharam. And you're sitting here half asleep, I just can't believe it. I really can't. I don't understand. This is, I mean, what could be more exciting or more meaningful than such a discussion? No, oh, for heaven's sake. Given a chance to ski or to learn this, Sugya Richie.
Don't ask.
You mean this is Ein Potrin Lo Le'adam Bechvod Aski? I hear you. Yes, Rabbanea, your question, sir.
On a simple level, Rabbi, the second Shantaran is saying this is all happening internally within her. And is not really dependent in its operative structure on anybody else. It's opposed to that's the barrel. You're hinging whether this works on somebody else. Right? But he's taking it much further.
No, I don't think that's what the Ran is saying.
If it's belief, it's a definition of what she made.
I understand, because if you're talking about something existential, then it has to be belief. I mean, there's no. He's not simply saying that this is a better tonight than being the Farish. He's saying it's a different tonight than being the fire. It's not the simple meaning of Billy Bob versus verbalization, right?
Versus being dependent on somebody else's thoughts.
Yes, so then that is what I said. I didn't add anything to it. That's exactly what I said. I said Billy Bob versus being dependent on anybody's thoughts. That's exactly what I said. That she sees herself as being incapable in the darn Billy Bob. The way she looks at herself, she does not see herself as being capable of making this nether. And therefore, there's no doubt there. You're not changing anything. You're putting it in different words.
Okay.
And if you are, please define.
I think but you're adding a level, which I mean,
no, I just think you didn't think about
she's
it.
She never meant to say something that's against her husband. That's
so if she's mefarish, that I don't mean to say something against so-and-so, so should vare be good. you're still going to have to, you're going to have to boil down to the difference between biliba, meaning something deeper than just dibur, as opposed to an assumptive state of mind, which is what everybody thinks it means, says the Ran, which allows them to say, well, certainly if you say it, it's not going to be less than an assumptive state of mind. That's crazy. How can an assumption be better than a statement? But if I'm telling you that we're not talking about an assumptive state of mind, we're talking about an assumptive state of being, it has nothing to do with what you say. Right? That's the difference between lev and dibur. I think anyway, you're gonna, no matter what you do, you're going to have to come on to what I'm saying in order to properly understand the rhyme.
Yeah. Why doesn't she tell him? Why does he have to find out if she was so afraid that he wouldn't approve?
What do you mean? Women are like that all the time. Seriously, you try to get away with whatever you get away with, but as soon as he finds out, okay, you know.
Doesn't she tell him beforehand?
That's exactly the point. When somebody is afraid of somebody else's dot, they don't tell them. If it's a normal relationship, I tell you, you don't like it, so I'll say, you know, I'm really sorry you don't like it. But the whole point over here is you feel your whole self is constrained, and obviously you're worried. You know, it's like the woman is not, why doesn't she tell her husband that she dented the fender? Why does she wait till he finds it out himself? Why? Okay.
This is amazing teaching.
It's amazing, right? It's absolutely stunning. Everybody's sitting over here, half asleep. So what if it's 38 degrees in the room? I mean, that shouldn't have anything to do with it. Boy, Rami Bar Choma. Cheresh mao shefer liishto. Im timtzolo meba'al mekfer balo shmiya mishum de bar nishmao, at least, avo cheresh, de lav bar nishmao. Einer de Rebbe Zera, dam Rebbe Zera, kola roi lebila, in bila makevet bo, vachoshen roi lebila, bila makevet bo, that's one side. Or perhaps b'shamay isha is b'chlal lo ma'akev, and it wasn't meant to define any situation, operative or ideal. Amar Rava Tashma b'shamay isha prat li'eshet chere shma mina. Ibay lo ba'al ma'hu she'efer shtein asha bevat achat, where he says yani ota, is that ota dafka or lav dafka? Mervina Tashma ein mashkin shtei sotot ki achad b'mnei shel liba gas b'chaber ta. Rabbi Yehuda omer lo min hashem uze, Ela mishum shenema vihishka, which means ota levada. Bogeret sheshata shnei masar chodesh ve'almana shloshim yom. Rebbe Eliezer omer, so of course the way to read that is bogeret v'sheshata shnei masar chodesh ve'almana shloshim yom. And now he gives mana v'nasei. Rabbi Eliezer omer holu v'alach hayav v'mizonotea yafer chachom yomor mimena bar yomefer ad shetikanes v'shuto. Omer Rabba, Rebbe Eliezer, mishna rishona amru davar achad. It's not. Notnim lebetula shnei mezra chodesh lefarnes atzma, igia shnei mezra chodesh, ochelet mishalo ochelet betruma, aval hayavam eino ma'achil betruma. I don't care whether it's us, the shisha chodeshim lifnei abal, the shisha chodeshim lifnei hayavam, I don't care if it's even avilu kulam lifnei abal, chosri yom echad, o kulam lifnei abal, hayavam chosri yom echad, obviously. Eido ochelet betruma, zu mishna rishona, but beitin shalachrehem amru, eina yisha ochelet betruma, ad shetikanes lechupam, we don't rely on the fact that he's being mezinota. Amalei Abayu, who's to say there's any relationship between Rebbe Eliezer Shita and the Mishnah Rishona? Diomaloni. Ad kan lo kashm in a Mishnah Rishona, elolamecho betruma, the Rabbanan. Avon adorim diorita, perhaps we wouldn't have agreed with Rebbe Eliezer that a husband, just because he's going ahead now and feeding a woman, therefore all of a sudden he's treated like a husband for a diorita? Amalei? Because there's a good reason why we should treat him as a Baal, as everyone agrees to the fundamental truth of Rapinchas' observation. But who's to say what Rebbe Eliezer would have held in terms of Achilat Truma, where we have a Chashash of Simpon, of a Truma, perhaps, even though it's only Drabon and Namilo Akla, because we're afraid. Therefore, we have no reason to interrelate these two circuits.